Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, every lawyer is responsible for observance of the rules of professional conduct. A lawyer should also aid in securing the observance by other lawyers' neglect of these responsibilities that compromise the independence of the profession and the public interest it serves. Today's topic for discussion is attorney ethics in the practice of law, featuring Anthony Gonzalez, board-certified civil trial law, adjunct professor at NOVA, Southeastern University Shepherd Broad Law Center, also editor of Florida Bar's Professional Liability Lawyers in Florida Manual, the fourth edition. Anthony Gonzalez, is a partner in Carmen, Beecham, Sang, and Gonzalez, PA. I'd first like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host, Gary Singer, who is board certified in real estate law, also syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel, and chairs the real property section for the Broward Bar, and also is the owner of Gibraltar Title, one of the oldest title companies in the whole state. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? Good afternoon. Great. Hey, had some good news today. We actually inked a deal with Atlantic International Properties. We're going to be their in-house title company going forward.
Oh, that's
so I'm
huge.
Pretty excited about that. Working on a deal about 7 months now, so we finally inked it today.
Awesome.
So that's a great realty company among the many good clients we have that we do title closings for. And they've been a presence, I think, for 35 years down in the Galt Ocean Mile.
Wow.
They really own that
good
area.
Good for you. Good
yeah,
for you.
So
absolutely.
It was a good day.
And, of course, Michael Santucci, who is an intellectual property law attorney and litigator, who was appointed and currently serves as co-chairman for the Intellectual Property Law Section of the Broward County Bar Association, and also has been quoted in TV, print, internet media. His cases have been covered worldwide by the United Press, Associated Press, New York Times, CBS, NBC News, just to name a few. Good afternoon, Mike.
Thanks, Phil.
You're turning bright red.
All true.
I embarrassed you.
Yes. All true, including the bright red.
Yep. Chairperson, though.
Chairperson, that's true. And criminal defense lawyer Gary Astro, for over 30 years, has been defending the accused in both state and federal courts for any criminal offense, ranging from homicide, manslaughter, white-collar offenses, drug trafficking, with over 500 jury trials and counting to his credit. Gary Astro focus on the Fourth Amendment issues as related to search and seizure, as well as federal civil rights cases against police officers in the departments in the cities which they operate. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hi, good to be here, Phil.
Wow, you guys keep adding more and more stuff. It'll take the whole show just to announce who you guys are.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
You could stop saying that my mom really likes me, then maybe we can disqualify, you know.
Yeah, but she pays me $5 every time. And a special good afternoon to Anthony Gonzalez, who likes to be called Tony.
Thank you, Phil.
And Anthony, did I do justice to your last name?
Yes, you did.
He just said he likes to be called Tony.
He does.
So why are you calling him Anthony?
He was asking me about my last name. You got the last name.
Right,
Tony.
Welcome to Legal News and Review. You know, the most common ethical issues when it relates to attorney's professional conduct is their duty to report another lawyer.
Right.
That must be hard to do.
It absolutely is hard to do because a lot of guys don't want to be a whistleblower on somebody else, and it often has to be the something that you can prove and have knowledge of and something that's, you know, reportable to the bar. But you have so many lawyers today, and I tell this to my students, and I think the table will probably agree with me. I mean, this job is really a fun job, and it's a privilege to go out there every day and see people in the courtroom, other attorneys or litigants, and we spend so much time irritating each other over things, and some things aren't reportable. It's just to the bar. It's just the way we treat each other is it's outrageous sometimes, and it's really unnecessary in a lot of circumstances.
Yeah, some real big jerks out there.
Absolutely, but you
Terrible.
Know,
is that a legal term?
Yeah, it's a legal term.
Well, you know, I was thinking to myself when I was driving over here. When I first started, I mean, and I've been practicing for about 17 years now, and even in just 17 years, the practice has changed. Maybe just from technology, it seems like when I went to the Broward County Courthouse 17 years ago, everybody knew each other. Everybody talked to each other. Even if you didn't like the other side, you talked.
Yeah.
You knew who the judge was. You knew who the bailiff was. Now, everybody sits there. They're looking at their phones. They're just not engaged with each other in a way that it used to be. And you can really sense that. The communication between the lawyers is really not what it used to be.
It was a lot more intimate in the courtroom, and it was more condensed also. There's a lot more lawyers now. The turnover in the state attorney's office, every time you go into a felony courtroom, there's a different line prosecutor, it seems. You can't keep up. So it's changed a lot. It's evolved a lot because the numbers are higher. And
but I've heard that in the criminal defense bar, in the criminal bar, it's a lot more congenial and pleasant to each other than the civil
bar.
Well,
I didn't realize that until I got my hands wet in the civil arena. And then I realized that how vicious civil lawyers were relative to criminal lawyers with each other. And I realized that the reason was because in civil court, you're fighting over money.
And you're fighting each other.
Absolutely.
Each other over, and it's so much more vicious, and I didn't like it. Especially, well, family law is not about money. It is, but not as much as just general civil, because it could be about alimony or child support, but that's the most vicious, because you have the personal issues and the resentments, but that's a good point. It's just much more congenial among criminal lawyers. Prosecutor to defense lawyer.
Am I hearing along with correct? You saying in civil court they're not being civil?
Not nearly as much.
That would be one way of putting it.
You
and
guys,
it's relative to my experience in criminal for 30
years.
Do you guys
that.
Really right. notice? I mean, Gary Officer's got a couple more, significant amount of time on most of us. But pretty much most people
I've got in the radio listening audience.
I've got about 20.
But you wouldn't know it by looking at it.
No. You look good for your age.
I got about 20 years in practice.
Anyone alive looks good for your age.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Jesus.
We can dub that out.
I've got about 20 years in practice and maybe about 3 years working in law firms before that. I don't really notice a difference in this, in how we treat each other over time. But I'm not looking for it. But there's something we talk about amongst the office. We call them keyboard tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, with everybody with a smartphone in their hand in the last 10 years, it's easy to shoot a real tough guy email to somebody. But if you just pick up the phone to that same person, they become a cream puff, and then you remember that you're professionals, and you're two people trying to get through your day and doing the best for your clients.
I can tell you that when I was on the Civil Rules of Procedure Committee, I did two terms with them, and when I was on there, we had so many lawyers that wanted to put sanctioning clauses in each of the civil rules for anything, for a request for copies, just because attorneys just don't deal with each other. Like I said, we don't have to agree with each other on something, but I should be able to call you up and say,
exactly,
can you send me some copies without me having to try to sanction you?
Well, you know? It really pisses me off here on the thing. 5705, you can file a notice of appearance, and there's attorneys out there that are going to file a 5705 letter over to you.
You're double dipping.
Yeah. What?
You raised that same issue in the last.
God, it just annoys the heck out of me. It's like, all I did was appear. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's frivolous.
But I think, though.
No, I'm really not.
With criminal law, though.
A little bit.
Criminal lawyers are going to trial a lot more than civil lawyers. Civil lawyers don't go to trial. I mean, this might be just me getting a little bit older, but I remember who the good trial lawyers were in the civil side when I was younger. Now I look around and I think, Who is that next echelon? Because how many cases on the civil side really go to trial every year?
Maybe I can add some insight into that, because with a criminal case, you don't have, and I didn't know this until I started trying, and I didn't try a lot of civil cases, but with the jury instructions and everything done up front with the trial schedule, you don't have to do that in a criminal case. You go in, you either take depots or you don't,
right,
and you try the case. So for me, it's second nature. I've been doing it for so long, and I've tried so many that I'm comfortable just walking in. But when I get a civil trial order and I look at this thing and I go, I don't want to deal with any of it. I really don't. And that may explain why you'll see a lot more litigation in the criminal arena.
Well, I think
than
that
civil.
The civil lawyers that I see coming up, they don't want to admit that they don't know anything. So they wind up trying to fake it. And in this business, you really can't fake it till you make it, right? You kind of learn. As they say, you either learn from the guys before you and you marinate in what they know, or you go the other route, which is you hit every roadblock along the way. But either way, you kind of need to try the cases to get to know
Absolutely.
Them. Yeah, and there just aren't a lot of people that want to go out and do that.
There aren't
not enough.
There are less experienced attorneys that kind of they wind up over litigating cases because they go out of their way for that very reason you just said, Tony, is right. that they don't want to admit they don't know something, or they don't want to admit that they made a mistake, and they don't know how far they can let you go
right.
with extensions of time or whatever. They don't realize the difference between, hey, I'm a human being and I just need an extra 3 days for something, or I just got off vacation, or they don't know the difference between that and I'm taking advantage of you.
Right.
You know, and out of insecurity sometimes there's, you know, and right. that's why having good mentors if you're a young right. attorney is very important. Like
always
you said,
the best way.
Learn from people before you.
I think it's also, I mean, you're 100% right in what everyone's saying, but it's also deep in that. In the criminal arena, one half of the equation doesn't have to worry about getting clients to pay them because they're getting paid by the government, so they don't have to go back to them, hey, why'd you spend all my money? You didn't get anything. They win or they lose. The other half, most criminal defense attorneys tend to be lone wolves and solo types that don't have a huge overhead. You know, you have a lot of these in the civil right. trial. You have to go back. You have a whole staff that has to be answered to. You got to please your clients.
You
so
invest
they pay
a lot
you.
More in trying a case financially. A lot,
even
more.
Just in motion practice, you got to get your client to pay right. you. So you got to show them some sort of result. Well, they filed this. Why didn't you file something back? And it leads to that cycle. And you got to keep the client happy because you got to get paid. And then you have that stress and that frustration of making your overhead. So if you're a little bit of an a-hole, now you're a major a-hole to everyone around you.
Yeah.
From the other, you can say a-hole. From the, can you?
He wouldn't use the word goddamn
we got the okay.
Now he's talking a-hole.
Okay. Really? Dang, dang.
We just got
don't
the
use
okay.
thy Lord's name in vain.
From our monitor, we got the thumbs up.
I got all a right. sincere question for Tony.
Right? I mean, but the stress of, you run, you're a name partner.
Yes.
In a larger, well, a small but larger law firm,
it's got
the
a lot
stress
overhead.
Of making overhead.
Mike's got a lot of
makes
overhead.
You want to go home and kick your goldfish, doesn't it?
Wait,
I mean,
wait.
Seriously.
Mike had a sincere question as opposed to all the other questions.
I'm going right. to give him a sincere answer.
Being
Mike,
an a-hole.
Come on, the floor is yours.
Where something Gary Singer just said made me think of it. Where do you draw the line? And this is an ethical issue too on how to keep your client adequately informed. Where do you draw the line between telling your client every last minute detail and every conversation with opposing counsel and kind of telling them what you think they need to know at the critical points of the case? And does it just depend on the personality you're dealing with?
It depends on so many. That's why they call it a practice of law. Everything is situational.
Yes.
And it depends on the facts of your case. It depends on the person that you're dealing with. It depends sometimes whether you're plaintiff or defendant and whether your client's that nuanced on what the law is or what the facts are. What you try to avoid, though, is having your client have a misconception about a case going down the road. And I'll tell you what I do all the time, especially when I'm on the defense side. I hate to have, and I think defense lawyers do this, they evaluate the case one way at the beginning, and at the end they evaluate it a completely different way to try to dump it. And I try to make my analysis the same all the way through.
That's
and
true.
If they want
to
try,
the strategy.
Yeah, and if they want to try it, then try it. And as long as I've told you that risk is out there. But this can be a crazy business, but think about it. I mean, it used to be, I mean, now everyone, if you're going to file a motion to compel, you're required under the rule to communicate with the other side and certify that you've done that before you go to the hearing. Well, who wouldn't do that? I mean, to me,
Oh, there's so many attorneys I've dealt with that don't do
no,
that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying for
it's
me.
It's so unprofessional.
And I would call you and say, can I just have this? As the plaintiff, I don't want to go down there and have that hearing because there's no money in it
but
for me.
But the defense is billing hourly.
The defense is billing, and that's what the plaintiffs say, and I get that. But, you know, nobody wants to go before the judge and look like
now,
you
the
can't
judge
work.
Is going to, you know, blast both sides
right.
on it.
And you're going to get that reputation. Your reputation still, it's still a small community that's actually in that
but
courtroom.
But is that prevalent where they don't try to work it out and resolve it before the setting down a hearing? I thought that was pretty common practice.
Yeah, or they well, make kind the of a they kind of make a effort. Pro forma effort right. exactly to
so
say,
they can say we yeah, can, we I spoke. Can say we tried, but it that really wasn't too it was often. No sincere.
But I mean, before I ever came in the business, I hear from the guys that practiced in the '80s, they say, listen, in a civil in the old days, we should just call the other side up, maybe resolve the case. Now the trial order says you're required to mediate. Well, if right. you're required to mediate, I'll just see it mediation. And that's what the lawyers are doing. They know they're going to get to mediation. They know it's required. And they're going to sit there and they're going to do their letter writing all the way through the case.
They're going to bill it up to the mediation.
Yeah, but, right.
You know what? If I get a good attorney, I mean, I do transactional and litigation work. If I get a good attorney on a litigation case on the other side, we often can get it resolved on a phone call. The yeah. ones where you can't are the crappy attorneys.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. they just want to fight,
and bill,
not
bill,
work
bill,
it
bill,
out.
Bill.
It's terrible.
Especially
there's
on the
ways to, and an attorney like Gary Singer can smoke an attorney like that out and show him out to the judge in the first hearing. And show that this attorney is turning the file. I mean, there's ways to let the judge know what's going on.
But I don't
on.
Know how much the judges yeah. really care that much. You know, that's been one
well,
of one of my
an,
big
it's
frustrations.
It's an overload of work for them. I mean, they're not happy about it. So they want cases resolved as much as anybody else.
A lot of people locally, you know, have a lot of bad. We got a break in a second. I just want to get this thought out. A lot of bad to say about judges, you know, about how they run their courtrooms. And I'm not one of those attorneys. I'm on the record oftentimes of saying a lot of very positive things about our judiciary. I have a lot of respect for them and their job and what they do. And, you know, I say that privately as well as publicly. However, you know, there is a lot of nonsense going on out there that judges could put a stop to if they wanted to. And for whatever reason, they don't. You know, maybe it's because it's an elected position or maybe they just don't think it's their place. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like there's a lot of bad lawyers out there running wild, well within what the judge should be able to see when you point it out to him. And the attitude is often, you're big boys and big girls, go work it out. Well, you know, if we could have done that, we wouldn't have been before the judge. You know, if someone's doing something wrong, you know, we kind of need, you know, right. mommy or daddy in the front of the courtroom to step on them a little bit, not just say, go work it out. On that note, we got to have a break. Phil, so why don't you take us out?
Very good. You're listening to Legal News and Review on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM. They're all WSBR stations. I want to welcome our iHeart listeners, but our TuneIn and iRadio Now. And we're talking about the most common ethical issues. And reporting professional misconduct within the legal profession, reporting on lawyers, but also reporting on judges. We're going to be coming right back.
Did a good job with that, Phil.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Oh, yeah, we are back. Legal News and Review.
We're rocking and out with our socks
I'm
out.
I'm telling you, I like
really
to change it
right
up. And we're speaking with Tony Gonzalez, His real name is Anthony, but likes to be called Tony, and he's a board-certified civil trial lawyer. And also, he served two terms on the Florida Bar Civil Procedure Rules Committee from 2005 and 2010, but helped edit the damages section of the Florida Bar's Professional Liability of Lawyers in the Florida Manual 4th Edition. He's also an adjunct professor at Nova Southeastern University.
Go Sharks.
Yeah, here you go. Shepherd Broad's Law Center. I think I'm surrounded by
all Nova attorneys.
Yeah. How cool
except
is that?
Chris.
Gary, you're a Nova attorney?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to introduce you guys to Chris Fisher. Newest attorney in our suite here at Museum Plaza. He's a PI attorney. You are Nova. Okay, that's
there
right.
You
he
go.
Went to UF undergrad. Yeah, he's a Gator undergrad. Yes.
But this is actually a very serious issue because over the years, things have changed in the practice of law. Some attorneys take on more than they can handle.
Yeah.
They're not as open to helping the opposing counsel as well. And Gary Ostro?
I had a question for Tony about professional liability, and I ask this whenever it applies in cases where a lawyer might be looking at liability for malpractice, for example. My experience is that if a lawyer or a doctor even is being looked at or targeted for malpractice possibly, my experience seems to teach me that if a doctor or a lawyer who's being targeted from a plaintiff's position is uninsured, that he's not as attractive a target. Is that generally, and I'm only asking generally, is that generally true or not? A lot of doctors don't carry malpractice insurance for that reason because a lot of lawyers won't go after them because they're uninsured.
I think it's probably true because it's true in all professions, it seems like. I would say in my experience, it is easier to get yourself in a malpractice situation on the plaintiff side than the defense side. And I think that's typically because on the plaintiff side, you're dealing usually with an individual that doesn't understand the legal practice, and you have a heightened duty to make sure that they understand the litigation process.
But more to my question is it true that somebody, a doctor or a lawyer who's targeted for malpractice, do you look at, of course you look at their insurance and what the policy limits are. Obviously that's relevant.
Right.
But if somebody's not insured, aren't they less attractive a target? Not necessarily.
I think they are. I mean, I think that, again, that's just probably the whole nature of every business. If you're insured, you're a deeper pocket and you're probably more of a target. But what I'm saying is that there are some people out there that really do claim at least to get worked over, especially on the plaintiff side, because they just don't understand how the situation works. And I think they get sued regardless of.
When you say from the plaintiff side, you mean defendants who are sued for malpractice?
No, well, I'll give you a prime example. Let's say I'm a plaintiff's lawyer and I've got an issue with regard to my attorney fee agreement. You can have a lot of things that pop up in an attorney fee agreement that can create a problem between you and your client.
A contingency
fee agreement, mm-hmm. Right. Did I put in there that I was going to work down the medical bills? Did they understand when we settled the case what they were going to get? On the defense side, it's different. It's usually, especially if it's insurance defense, there's an adjuster there. There's a ton of people that are willing to tell you what you should do and are real happy to take the credit if it all works out in the end, and real happy to blame you if it didn't.
Right.
But on the plaintiff side, it's different. I don't know that the insurance makes as much of a difference because on those sides, I mean, you blow the statute on anybody, you might wind up getting a claim. You know.
I see lawyers getting judgments against the defendants that are basically essentially indigent. But just to get that judgment at a principle, they'll work a case up for 2 years and try it for weeks and get a judgment against the defunct municipality, for example. I see it. I don't see it all the time, but I see it happens.
Well, there's reasons to do that if you're going against companies. You can, you know, then go for fraudulent transfer proceeding supplemental to try to get the money. You do have to get it. So I don't think it's not. If I mean a defunct municipality, maybe I don't know the reasons
just an example.
But there are reasons. Like, I've seen that, too, and I wondered about it. And then, you know, I started doing more and more debt-related litigation for clients. And, you know, you get the judgment against the company so you can go after the principals or their relatives later on.
It's really independent of the merits, my point. You look at a case, there's great merits, but then you look at the defendant, you go, the guy's, you know, his pockets are.
You got to look at that as a
responsible they're not deep pockets.
Attorney.
Then what really, as a practical matter, he's not as attractive a target.
Well, that leads me to a question, actually, I have, and I want your opinion.
You know something?
On.
I'm going to ask you to hold off on that question because we're going to do
question.
A second part on this. That's something I was afraid of. that I did budget enough time to do a second part. This is being broadcast on Monday, and this will be for the second part on Wednesday.
We're out of time already?
We really are. See, that's why I budgeted extra time, just in case we needed
the surface.
Yeah.
I mean,
and,
right?
You know, Anthony, or Tony, as we like to call you.
Call me either one.
Tony likes to be called.
Don't call him like Dana, okay, Phil? Okay, you call him Tony.
Hey, Tony. Tony Gonzalez, you're with a great firm. And for those who may want to contact you on this issue or other issues within the scope of your practice, what is the best way?
Well, you can call our number at 561-393-6335, or you can email me. It's a complicated email. It's A. Gonzalez. There's a lot of ways to mess it up. It's A. Gonzalez, which is A-G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-S, at carmanbeacham.com, which is C-A-R-M-A-N-B-E-A-U-C-H-A-M-P. .com. How'd you like to give that out?
Do not reply.com.
And we're going to be back on Wednesday with the second part regarding ethics. You know, every lawyer has a responsibility of observance of the rules of professional conduct. Gary?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Wait, what's this about professional conduct? Now, on that note, folks, I want to thank our listeners. This is great, Tony. Thanks for coming out. I'm looking forward to part two, because I do have some great stuff to ask you about. I want to thank my co-host, Gary Ostro, and the great Michael Tooch, who's also a very talented musician. You should pick him up. It's Rolled Whiskey.
Yep. R-O-L-L. Apostrophe D.
Our world-famous moderator, Mr. Philip Bell. Thanks for having us on and doing all the work it does to get the show on air. And on that note, folks, and most importantly, I want to thank our listeners, and I want to wish you all a great Monday. And as always, folks,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. For Legal News and Review, remember, be legal.